Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Are there any dads around apart from me and Donnie? So look. Don't you want to stand up? Amen. Great stuff. It's good to have dads. I hope you guys all phone your dad. SMS doesn't work today. Facebook doesn't work. Whose dad's on Facebook? A couple of you. Wow. Okay. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening, and I'm excited just to be sharing. We're just carrying on with the series we started with a couple of weeks ago. And if you didn't beforehand, then by now hopefully you know Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, where Jesus came and he spoke and he said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." For the last month, we've just paused around these three verses, just spend a bit of time unpacking them, just breaking it all down a little bit. In the first week, just as a quick recap, we looked at all authority. We spent time, just what does it mean when Jesus says that all authority has been given to him? And obviously, we spent a bit of time talking about that. And then from that, therefore, go. Therefore, get moving. But God hasn't called us stationary, to just stand still, to not do anything. Use the analogy of the car parked in the parking lot. I'd love to see one of you guys go out now, or one of you ladies even, and turn that vehicle around. And then to start the engine and get it moving, and then to try turning it around. So much easier giving direction to something that's already moving than to try and turn something that's just standing still. I said in the first service, it's a little bit like my daughter. She's 16 months old tomorrow pretty much now. And she's got one of those little black bikes. Who didn't have a little black bike when they were a kid? Or who didn't steal their neighbor's little black bike when they were a kid? That is like the best kiddie invention ever. So Lisa's got this little black bike, but she hasn't figured out how to self-propel yet. So she can't do the whole leg thing. So we've got to push her. But there's one small problem. I'm not like putting my hands on the handlebars. If I do, and then she hits my hand and pulls my hands off. And you know, that's exactly how many of us are with God. God has to come behind us and God has to push us. He just can't determine the direction. God, we need your strength. God, we need your power to go where we want to go. And I just pushing her in that moment, the first time she threw a little tantrum on the bike and made me take my hands off, was just such a beautiful picture to me of exactly how I am to God often. God, I need your strength. You must, you know, why are you stopping pushing? Push somewhere else. Just don't push on the handlebars. Because that determines where we're going. I don't think she's clicked that out yet. But she's on the bike and she doesn't want me on the bike, so she doesn't want to see me touching the bike. But somehow I've still got to push her. But anyway, that's just as an aside. So we spoke about going, the fact that God wants us to be moving. God doesn't want us to be stationary. And for some of us, it's not necessarily that God wants us to go all across the world tomorrow. Maybe just for some of us, just to go across the road. Just walk to the other side of the room, the aisle, the hall, the passageway. Step out from our comfort zone and step into that zone of the unknown and be willing to engage and embrace other people where they're at. So all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. So we must go. And then the second week we spent a little bit of time and we spoke about making disciples. Spent a bit of time what that means biblically, and we highlighted three specific things. And before those three things, we just said, make disciples. There's an imperative. There's an instruction there. There's an insinuation that it's going to take some work. Disciples aren't just suddenly, rapidly going to evolve and emerge and appear supernaturally around us. We need to actually go and use a little bit of our energy, invest our energy into our lives and make them, build them, shape them. And the three things that biblical discipleship requires, just very briefly, just recapping again. Firstly was proclaiming Christ, evangelism. Getting out there and just bringing people to a knowledge of the truth and the saving grace of Jesus. Secondly, bringing them to a relationship of obedience, which starts with baptism. Baptism as the immediate response to the gospel. And last week we had a whole bunch of people getting baptized. It was a really special time. First thing that scripture holds before us, that when we come to salvation, the first thing that we do is we get baptized. Just bringing people to an understanding that we're walking now in obedience to Christ, letting go of the steering wheel and letting Him take the steering wheel. And then the ongoing instruction in Christ. Scripture holds before us there, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Something that just gave you 5 minutes, just to practice a little bit. Just practice teaching. Practice sharing what God is teaching us so that we can teach other people that. Spent a bit of time talking about the disciple making. And then last week, Yankor was here and spoke to us just about generations. Just God's heart for there to be an intergenerational transfer of revelation of Christ, of the glory of Christ, of the magnificence of Christ. But God spoke to the Israelites and He said, put these big stones here so that for the generations still unborn, it would be a reminder and a remembrance of the great things God has done. And how often God does something special and miraculous in our life, but it stays with us. The glory due to His name for His doing it kind of doesn't get passed on. And we just need to really cultivate that lifestyle and a culture of bringing glory to His name when He does great and glorious things. Not just standing still, but building monuments in our lives, taking stones so that when people walk past the stones and say, what's that? And then we tell them what it is and what it represents to us in our life, declaring the goodness and the greatness of a moment where God came through in a way God showed and revealed His glory towards us. And then, that was last week. Sorry, I'm just having to wing this tonight. My notes got stolen between the services. So unless someone happens to have a laptop on the chair next to them. No one, okay. That's what I thought. So I'm just going to be reading off the screens. So apologies for that if I lose my train of thought just from time to time. But if Jesus comes and He says, all authority in heaven and earth, all authority, go therefore, make disciples. And now this evening we're going to stand still a little bit and we're going to look at this thing of nations. What does it mean when Jesus says He wants us to reach out to nations? And then we're going to talk about that a little bit, this nations. What does God see when He talks about nations? What are some scriptures that God refers to around nations? And then we're just going to come back full circle and say, okay, how does that apply to me and my life living in whichever suburb of Pretoria you're living in at the moment? How does that translate God's heart for the nations to where I am at the moment in my life? And how do I walk in obedience to Christ? Because does this mean that I must now hop on an airplane every second week? But we'll circle back to that a little bit later. First of all, that word nations that's used there, that's the word, the Greek word, ethnos. Anyone place that? Anyone heard that word before somewhere? Ethnicity. Ethnic groups. So when God speaks about ethnic groups here, nations, He's not only in the, I think it includes that by implication, but He's not only talking about geopolitical nations, South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, nation. He's actually talking about people groups, people of the same ethnic type. In other words, share a language, share a common culture. One of the things that I love about, it's great seeing Kurt here today, broke his national record when was it on Friday night? Monday. Some of you might have seen him on Super Sport Blitz, blitzing it off there on the track. just happened by chance to see it the other night. Hey, I know that guy. Okay. New national record. Well done. But it's important for us. One of the things that I love about us as a church is that somehow God has gifted us in this area. The ability to reach nations. Because nations obviously includes across borders. But we're going to beat the first service. I just know this. In the first service, I think we got 15 nations in the one service. Just sitting here tonight, let's have a quick count. Are there any Khoisas here? And I said that horribly wrong. My apologies to you. Any Zulus? Any Venda? Any Sutus? Back there. Any Pedis? Okay. Any English heritage, British heritage people? Thank you, Kate. And some others. Any Afrikaans? A whole bunch of us. Any German? Gents in the front here. Erica and some others. Portuguese? What else? Come, we need more. Who am I missing? Tswana. Sorry, I missed the Tswana. Tswanas? French? Dutch is pretty much the whole Afrikaans thing is Dutch. Apart from a couple of French Huguenots that got included there. I think we're on 11. Am I missing? Have we got any? Praise the Lord. No, that's not going to work. My notes aren't on there. But thanks for the idea. That's what's up there. But thank you, Donnie, for the initiative. Chinese. Ah, Enza. He's hiding there. We do. That's 12. Don't you have like any Tamil or something like that? Not this service. Where's Hayden? Yes. What are you? You don't, Indian. He doesn't even know. Eh? He's a real Indian. Ndebele. We're going to Ndebele. There we go. It's 14. We're doing well here. Uvambus. Yes. Dauda. 15. Any Rwandans here? Yes, Margot. Ugandan. There we go. 16. We're doing well. We beat the first service. Anyone else I'm missing? Any coloreds? Yuri? Hey, we've got Mozambicans as well. Sorry? Turkish? Oh, Umut again. She's in the back. But the point is that somehow there's a convergence of nations. I lost count there, but I think we ended about 17 or 18 nations. But it reminds me of the guy who, American cowboy, and he's running. I don't know if I must tell this story. Maybe I must just stop there. Someone's going to get offended with me, and then I've got a whole bunch of reparations. Let me just roll it. If you want the joke, you can come afterwards. Okay? Or should I tell it now? You all promised not to be offended. So the guy's riding on his horse, the cowboy, and he sees the smoke signals way over there. He calls his friend over. He says, what are the smoke signals saying? The guy goes, how many times did I tell you? I'm not that type of an Indian. But we love you. Huh? But God has called groups and nations together. And if that's kind of a confusing thing to you, how this whole thing fits together, you know, the races, nations type of thing coming together around Christ, I want to encourage you. A couple of months ago by now, I think, I spoke a message on one holy nation. If you missed that, really get that message. It's so important, just culturally where we are in South Africa, just to understand biblically how this all integrates and comes together. I remember Timmy still loved it. He came to me and said he must order a CD. We made him a CD and he still hasn't picked up the CD. But get that message and really just work this nations thing through to you. If on an ethnicity side, a race side, that's a struggle for you. But God comes and He speaks to us about nations. So we're just going to look at a whole bunch of scriptures about nations, just to stir something inside of us about what is God's heart. And then, as I said, we'll circle around and we'll come back to how does that apply to my life and to your life. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the outflow of that power is that you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world, to the ends of the earth. From the beginning, God's purpose has always been to reach nations. The next verse, I think, is in Mark 16. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Carries on, and the next verse, Matthew 24, I think, Matthew 24, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations, in all the world, as a witness to all the nations. And then, and the implication, only then will the end come. So you can know, if you get a Facebook message tonight, the end of the world is tomorrow, Jesus is coming back, you can reply back, liar. Because it's a well-known fact that there are over 2 billion people in the world today who have never heard the name Jesus. The message of Christ doesn't mean anything to them because no one's told them about it. And Jesus says he's not coming back until that's done. Because he's got a heart for nations. Then Jesus said to them, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations. I think most of us in a New Testament sense, we pretty much understand God has called us to speak the gospel to all nations. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. The question that pops up in many of our minds though is when we read the Old Testament, we turn back a couple of hundred pages. But what about there? There we read about God wiping out nations, God destroying them. God having and committing what we in modern day terms call genocide. How does this whole thing fit together? Genesis 22, and Tulani or Dauda, you must just shout if I just miss a slide somehow because I'm just working with memory here. Here's the next one, am I right? Genesis 22, yes. Jesus comes and speaks to Abraham, which to me is a pretty cool story. Abraham, Old Testament, gets a visitation from Jesus. And the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, calls to Abraham a second time out of heaven. He says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. This is obviously just after the whole Isaac situation. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and they went together to Beersheba. Powerful story, a powerful message that so many people miss. That right from the beginning, God's purpose in blessing Abraham was to bless all people. That right from the beginning, God's blessing upon Abraham was meant to be as a blessing to all the nations. That God called the people of Isaac and who became the Jewish nation. God called them and he wanted to say to them, guys, I want to bless you. I want to make my face shine upon you. I want to prosper you in such a powerful way. But not for you, not because you're special, because I'm special. And I want in my blessing you, the world and all the nations of the earth to see this God and come to a knowledge of this God. See the same in Zechariah 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another saying, let's continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. And to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man saying, let's go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. From the beginning, that was the purpose and that was the plan. From the beginning, God's purpose and God's plan was to say, I want my glory to shine upon a people so that the whole earth can come to know my glory. Anyone ever read Isaiah? Arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And we get that word and we think, wow, my time has come. God is going to bless me. God's going to make His face shine upon me. My time has come. But we don't read further. Because if we read a little bit further, I'm going to paraphrase. It says, arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. And God carries on. My light is going to shine upon you so that the nations and the islands from far off will see my glory and they will come to know my glory. It's not about me being blessed. It's about God's glory being demonstrated across the nations. As we look at Scripture, I believe when God thinks of nations, there are two preeminent thoughts that come into His mind and into His heart around nations. Two things, if we're going to have a heart for nations, that I really believe God wants us to embrace and run with, and many of us have this already, but we just, for completeness sake, just running through Matthew 28. The first one is His glory among the nations. God is committed to His glory in a way that you and I cannot ever understand on this earth. Watch what Malachi 1:11 says, for from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, all across the world, in every place, incense shall be offered to my name, a pure offering. My name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God is committed to the nations because God is committed to seeing His glory displayed among the nations. His great name that we just exalted, lifted high. I don't know if I've got any more slides on this one. No, sorry, I don't know. Whole bunch of verses which we'll put on the internet for you in the week. Sorry, was going to read them. Sorry. Don't have them all memorized just yet. Still working out my salvation. We'll get there. The first one is God is committed to His glory amongst the nations. The second one is God is committed to salvation of the nations. Do not let the son of the foreigner, once again, Old Testament from the book of Isaiah, God's heart demonstrated right from the beginning. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord, don't let him say, the Lord has utterly separated me from His people. Don't let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. You're not going to get into now. But anyway, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So often we read that last verse, and obviously Jesus quotes it, so it's pretty important. But I think it's important for us to read the verses preceding that. That God here is speaking to the people of Israel, and He says, guys, I want you to understand something, and I'm going to work in some people's hearts. And I actually want to work in every person on this earth's heart. And what I don't want from you when they come is judgment. What I don't want from you when they come is exclusivity. What I don't want from you when they come is a feeling of they can't be part of this. Because the only reason that I've made you and saved you is because I want you to be an example of what it looks like when the people follow Christ to the rest of the world, so that the rest of the world will follow me too. When the foreigner comes, you embrace him as your own, because I will have a place even better for him than for a son or a daughter. And obviously for us, that's pretty good news, because very few of us here today are Jewish. And that would suck if this didn't apply to us. But in the same way for us as a church, we get this. We understand that God sends people from depraved families and just depraved backgrounds, and He brings them here not for us to judge their depravity, but to celebrate the salvation that Christ is working in them. To bring them, and obviously in obedience to Christ, to teach them, to disciple them, to say, let me teach you how to follow Christ. Because that's exactly what these guys were meant to do. There's actually a whole process in the Levitical law of what, how does an unbeliever, a non-Jewish, a Gentile, how does he become part of the Jewish nation? Anyone remember Uriah, the Hittite, one of David's mighty men, Bathsheba's husband? Did you know he wasn't a Jewish man? He was a Hittite, which was a different group of people. It wasn't an Israelite. And Uriah, the Hittite, comes. But something stirs in his heart, and just as David goes out to fight for the name of the risen God, who does Uriah fight for? That same God. Why does he fight for that same God? Why does he testify of God's goodness in his life? Because it doesn't matter to him that he's not a Jewish person. It doesn't matter to God that he's not Jewish. Because God's purpose was always for everyone to walk in this covenant, that in Abraham all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That Abraham is just the one guy God picked to demonstrate, but that was meant to filter out across the earth. Unfortunately, the Jews never got on that page. God tried his utmost to get them to click that, but they never clicked it because they thought it was this exclusive thing. God has chosen us because we're special. No, you're special because God has chosen you. But you're not special more so than anyone else God has chosen. A whole bunch of other verses which I really, maybe just pray to play the previous sermon tape back if you can. There's actually a whole bunch of churches that do that. One of the big churches in Singapore, Joseph Prince, I mean, you've read his books. They do, I think, about 8 services per Sunday. And he goes in and he preaches the first one, and the next 7 get to watch it on DVD. But God's purpose has always been his glory and his salvation among the nations. Jesus just made that clear to us. Jesus didn't change anything in that sense. Obviously, just an understanding of Christ changed a lot in the way we relate to God, but it changed nothing of God's intention and God's purpose. God's always wanted us to reach the nations. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, we see this beautiful verse, which I'm trusting God for all of us to make our prayer. And yes, obviously it's referring here specifically to Jesus, but I believe it's referring to Jesus as the firstborn among many brethren here. And this is an implication and a prayer and a promise that God holds before all of us as believers. And Jesus, God the Father writes and he says to Jesus, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. The ends of the earth for your possession. God's purpose has always been for the ends of the earth to be the inheritance of Christ. God says to Jesus, Jesus, ask and I will give it. I wonder how many of us in the last week have prayed prayers lining up with this prayer. How many of us have said, God, give me the nations. I hope the Vintage team has been praying that, God, give us that nation, God. Give us those people. Let them come to know Christ, God. Turn their hearts. God, we're praying for a nation, God. Yes, maybe only for a couple of individuals in that nation, but they represent that nation. And our heart is for the whole nation to turn, but we understand that maybe we're not all like Joel. Not Joel, sorry. Jonah. Jonah who has to go through the whole whale thing before he understands that God doesn't actually want to destroy the city of Nineveh. God wants to save the city of Nineveh. And God sent Jonah with a message to the city of Nineveh because he wants to save the city of Nineveh. But Jonah doesn't like those people. So Jonah doesn't want to go to those people. And eventually, after a big fishy ordeal, he gets them. And he walks through and he's being difficult and he's got a bad attitude about this whole process. But do you know what happens? The city of Nineveh repents and they turn from their wicked ways. And God withholds the judgment because he never wanted to judge them. And then Jonah goes and sulks and says, but you, God, you didn't do it anyway. He goes, I know I didn't do it because they listened to you, you klutz. The whole city coming to salvation in one day. That's our prayer that that would happen. But even if it means one by one, God, we're praying for this nation to come to salvation. Lord, we're asking for the nations. So what does it mean for you and me living in Pretoria, my suburb of Pretoria where I happen to stay? How does it look? What does it mean? Does it mean that I need to hop on an airplane every second week because I need to be going to the nations and God is only interested in nations? Many of you today would have noticed that there's a lot of literature and church world and a lot of people even in church world talking. Some churches even and being named. It's not necessarily wrong. I'm not judging the churches who have that name. I'm just wanting to illustrate a point. But there's so much talk that God has called us to reach community. Has anyone heard that? Suddenly there's silence. God's called us to, God wants us to reach community. I'm not saying have community, which is fellowship and kind of a family love for one another. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reaching community. Being in a specific confined area. And there's a lot of merit to that and to that thought and the whole merit to that idea. And even just in some of the things we've been doing, I've just been wrestling with that thing. And then I just came to the honest, simple conclusion. Something that I love about Scripture is just so blunt sometimes. And I'm a blunt guy, so sometimes God is just blunt with me, which I really appreciate because hints don't work. You know, God must just say it. Oh, okay, thank you. You know, don't give me these clues. Just tell me, oh, thanks, God. And then I'll go and do it. And God just showed me the word nations in the New King James appears 434 times. The word community doesn't appear once. That says to me a lot already. So what does that mean then about me in my community with a heart for my community? Here's what I believe God's wanting us to do, and we'll break this out now. I believe God wants us to live with a heart for the nations lived out in our community. What does that mean? A heart for the nations lived out in our community. That means God isn't confused about the fact that it's really hard for me right now to be ministering to the people in Siberia. But something in my heart must want to see those people in Siberia change. First, something in my heart must want to see the glory of God manifest amongst the people in Siberia. Something in my heart must want salvation to come to those people, a large part of my heart. But then, I live out that passion to see the nation saved in the area where God gives me grace to do so. How do we know if that's in my heart? Because it's a subtle thing, saying it and living it. It's the same, I think, I've never been in a situation, but I can imagine if you were to think of a professional sportsman, a rugby team, cricket team, whatever it may be. Same thing, a coach has to wrestle. You see, maybe you're the coach of the Blue Bulls, for argument's sake. And now one of your players gets selected for the Springboks. Not talking about like, let's talk about Curry Cup, not super rugby. Ladies, the guys will explain the difference to you later. But what that means is my best player has now been chosen for the Springbok team, but you know what the implication is? He can't play for my team anymore. If you're a coach and your heart is to see the Springboks prosper, then you're excited about it. If you're a coach and your heart is to see the Blue Bulls prosper, you're disappointed by that. And you're not going to begrudge the guy the going, because I mean, you understand, for the guy it's a big honor. But for you, it's a problem. It's a challenge. Because my star players can't play for my team. They're playing for that team. And that same principle carries across to this thing. How do we know if we're having a heart for community or a heart for the nations lived out in my community? Well, where's my allegiance first and foremost? If somebody in our community, geographic area, you may be a leader there, he comes and he says, she comes and says, listen, I'm moving. Do you feel a little bit disappointed, maybe even betrayed? Or are you excited that you're able to send and equip disciple into the nations? Whether that nation is across the road or across the planet, that's not the point. And I'm trusting God that from this church, there'll be like a big, not like a stream, but like a big fat river flowing through us of people coming in, discipled, trained up, and saved. What does that mean for you? That means some of you need to go home and start praying about this. God, I like Pretoria. Pretoria is nice. Pretoria is comfortable. I've lived in Pretoria all my life. My friends are here. My family's here. And I don't know if God's going to send you and where He's going to send you. But I remember, I lived in Stellenbosch for 7 years. Beautiful place. But towards the end of the 7 years, it had begun krap. I don't know how else to say it. How do you say that in English? I got an itch. There was something inside of me that was just saying, this is beautiful, this is precious, but this is not reality. I'm missing so much about the world by staying here. And that was just God stirring something inside of me. And who knows? I don't know if I'm going to go back there in 79 years from now. You know, that's in God's hand. But I know at that stage, I needed to break out. I needed to stretch my wings a little bit. And I want to encourage some of you here. Some of you need to do that. Some of you don't even have passports yet. You need to get passports. It's a good start. And then some of you need to say to some friends, come, let's go for a holiday. We're going to do this holiday a little bit different. We're not going to mission as such. But I need God to change and touch something in my heart. So I'm going to go. And yes, I'm going to go to the Serengeti and I'm going to love the hippo and the giraffe. All the animals, look at them, but I'm actually going to be praying, God, that God will open my eye to see the people. Lord, when I drive past the Messiah, tell me, God, how do you feel about them? What is in your heart towards them? Well, we're going to go in Venice and we're going to go sail in those little boat thingies, whatever you call those, gondolas. And God, as we're looking at these beautiful buildings, this beautiful history, God, what I actually want is, I want you to touch my heart and my spirit around the people living here. God, just help me to understand and think a little bit about people who don't eat what I eat, wear what I wear, drink what I drink, think like I think, talk like I talk. Lord, help me just to develop a little bit of a heart for nations. For some of you, the first thing you need to do is you need to just be exposed to nations. Missions trips are great for that. I'm going to tell you a secret, and some of you are going to be shocked, but this is the truth. You might as well have it out there. One of the main reasons, and one of our main motivations for sending missions teams is not so much for the people we minister to, but for the people going. Yes. We love the people we minister. We pray and we trust God that we're going to transform their lives with time, even if it's like 1 moment, 5 minutes in a shopping center, we're going to transform their lives. But the prayer we pray, they change. Trust in that. But we also know that the people we send on missions trips come back different. Something inside of your spirit just shifts and changes, and you realize you can never think the same way about the world than you did before, because God just allowed you to have a glimpse of His heart for nations, for people. And that's what I believe God's wanting, just to stir in our hearts and for us to be honest about. You know, are we wanting to reach our community as the end, or wanting to reach our community as a goal, as a means to the end, and the end is the nations. And just as an aside, in case you're missing this whole thing, Pretoria is part of the nations. South Africa is part of the nations. Brooklyn and Hatfield are part of the nations. Centurion is part of the nations. But our prayer and our heart can never be, God, we want to reach Centurion or the East or the this or the that, because that's what it's about, or Hatfield. God, we want to reach them as a part and parcel of the bigger picture. We need to frame this little bit we're doing in this big frame. Because God, you're committed to the nations. And you're committed to Hatfield because you're committed to the nations. And God, I believe just for some of us, just wants us to help to make that shift a little bit. Is it about reaching my people, my community group? Or is it about reaching the nations? And I just live that out here where I am now, for now. And if I go, fantastic, God, I get to go and I get to live it out there, and I'm going to do the same thing there. And I'm going to trust that the people I've raised up here, they're going to carry on doing it there. subtle shift for some of us. Something I believe God's wanting us just to make that shift. And then, as we're going to be praying, ask for the nations. God, give us this nation. How do you know when a war is finished? Just backtrack one. Just step one. I'm running ahead of myself. One point that I forgot because I had my notes in front of me. On the exposure point, some of you need to go. But you know you can get a couple of friends in a car and you can drive to Gaborone. It's a 3-hour drive, roughly. And you're in a different country, different people. And then you can go walk in the streets. You don't have to book yourself into a guest house. Just walk in the streets and say, God, just talk to me about this nation. God, I don't even know if I can do anything, but just begin to talk to me because I want to hear what's on your heart regarding nations. God, I just want to have a glimpse of what you're passionate about. Or you get in your car and you drive across to Maputo. God, speak to me. God, I'm going to have a nice holiday. We go to the beach a little bit too. But God, I'm actually interested in hearing what you're saying about these people. I have a rest, I'm going to lie on the beach, but as I'm lying on the beach, I'm going to watch the little fishermen. I'm going to watch the kids on the side of the road. I trust you to drop something in my spirit. Some of you need to just start reading the newspapers. Going to news24.com. A whole bunch of you sitting here have got no clue what's going on in Syria at the moment. See, the silence just probably proves it. Those of you who laugh proves it even more. There's so much happening in a world out there, and we get boxed in here. For some of you, it's going to begin to stir in your heart like it stirred in my heart in Stellenbosch. It's going to stir in your heart in Pretoria. Because Pretoria is going to become your bubble that you need to break out of. Pretoria is going to be that place which is comfortable and nice and safe and helps to remove you a little bit from reality. God's going to get behind you and kick you a little bit. Not that you'll never come back. Just go see what the rest of the world looks like a little bit. So that you can begin to get a glimpse of what God thinks about the rest of you. And then, back to my previous point that I skipped, so it's actually the next one, that one. How do you know when a war is over? When the Americans invade Iraq, when for all intents and purposes is the war over? In the movies, when you conquer the Roman Empire, when do you know you've conquered the Roman Empire? When everyone's dead. No, not quite. But it's a good point. Said in the first service, I've got to say it again, just to keep the services the same, you know, you've got to tell the same jokes and everything. There's an old Mel Gibson movie, not such an old Mel Gibson movie, but a Mel Gibson movie where at one stage he's standing there and he's kind of this commander or sergeant of sorts, and he's got his troops. He says, you may have heard it said that for order for us to win this war, you might have to die for your country. That's rubbish. I think he used a stronger word, but anyway, right? Now, in order for us to win this war, you must make sure your enemy dies for his country. So it's not quite when they're all dead. When does the Second World War for all intents and purposes finish? When does everyone know this war's over? Yes. Unless you're invading a country, when the troops withdraw, yes, obviously when they surrender. No, the treaty gets signed months afterwards. When does it happen? Sorry? That's the one. When did the whole thing with Libya finish? Somebody then no clue what happened in Libya. When Gaddafi gets captured, but also when the stronghold falls. When is the war in Iraq finished? Well, when American tanks roll into Baghdad. When is the Second World War finished? For all intents and purposes, there's a little bit of cleaning up to do all over the place. But when? The Allied forces take Berlin. When the capital, the stronghold goes, the country's gone. That's pretty much throughout history. When you conquer the Roman Empire, well, when you conquer Rome. Does that mean you killed every Roman? No. But you've taken Rome. You've conquered the Rome. When the stronghold goes. Did anyone, I don't know if you guys were old enough, probably not even old enough. Anyone remember Comical Ali? They call him Comical, like some other name. But they just call him. He was the Iraqi Saddam Hussein's minister of information, who later became the minister of disinformation. Anyone remember him? Go and Google him tonight. Those of you still have computers, go. Google Comic Ali. And you're going to find the most hilarious things you've ever read in your life. I want you to picture this. America invades Iraq. Comic Ali gets up, speaks to the Iraqi people. Do not worry. Allah is with us. We have shot down a helicopter. We are repelling them and pushing them back. The one helicopter is gone. You know, the whole American army has been destroyed. But anyway, the highlights of Comic Ali's career was when he was standing on national TV saying, there are no American troops in Baghdad. But on the same video picture as he's saying it in the background, you just see all these American tanks filing past his office window as he's telling the Iraqi people, there are no Americans. It's all a lie. It's all a fabrication. There are no American troops in Baghdad. Anyway, it's completely off topic. The point is, a very large part, if not the whole war, of the war is finished when you take the stronghold. Anyone know what the capital of South Africa is? It happens to be the city we're living in. And I'm just so appreciative of these words, these many words that came. They all say the same thing. It says, God's moving. I don't know if you guys have noticed. One of God's names is the commander of the hosts of heaven. What does that mean? He's the commander of the armies of heaven. That he comes riding on his big white horse, and he's got millions of angels riding behind him. That Sarah alluded to, and Talani and some of the others. I was just reading in the week and stirred in the book of Zechariah. We always read about God seated on his throne. Have you guys noticed that? One place in Scripture speaks about God standing. It's a beautiful picture of Stephen when he gets martyred. And he says, I see the Lord standing. It says that God stands up to receive Stephen the martyr, the first martyr. But in Zechariah, it speaks this prophetic word that God's been speaking to me about just the church. And says, the Lord is aroused from his holy habitation. I just get this feeling that God's wanting to begin to move and God's standing up. And in the spirit, there's some stuff about to happen. And for us in Pretoria, that's got tremendous implications in this city. In this nation, that the way we take this nation on a geopolitical level involves very much the Church of Christ standing up in this city. And there are a whole bunch of other churches, and God's using them too, and I talk to them often. But God's been speaking to us, and we're going to do this over the next couple of weeks. I want to invite all of you on Thursday morning at 5:45, Thursday morning now. We're going to meet together on Fountain Circle. Anyone know where that is? 4:45 in the morning, bright and early, dress warm. A big circle. But we're going to just start praying, because that's one entrance to the city. We just ask God and explain it all on, over the next couple of weeks, just to show us just what is the area to which He has called us to have influence in the city, to inhabit the place in the Spirit. I had some people pray with us, and faithful intercessors in church. And God showed them pretty clearly, just five places. We need to just, what Scripture talks about, take the gates. Just go occupy a place in the Spirit. For some of you, you've got no clue what that means, doesn't make sense to you, and that's not a problem. You'll grow in spiritual maturity. Just understand for now, that's what God's calling us to do. You're going to have to trust me with that. And I want to encourage you, come and join us. So for the next five Thursday mornings, we're going to meet five different places across the city. And we're going to just begin prophetically to pray for those areas. This type of prayer. God, give us the city. Not, Lord, will you please change so and so, but Lord, we're taking, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, so we must go in that authority. Remember that. We're going to begin to pray out of position. We're going to help some of you who don't understand that quite yet. And then, 5 weeks, we're going to pray in these five different spots on Thursday mornings. Then the 6th week, which is the first week after the holiday, I think it's the 26th of July. The Tuesday and the Wednesday, I want to ask all of you who can to fast with us for the Tuesday and the Wednesday. And then that Thursday morning, which will be on the 6th week, we're all going to go at the same time to 5 different places. One group here, one group there. So all at the same time, And we're just going to prophetically proclaim, just we're taking up the position in the Spirit that God's called us to. And I want to just be bold and say, things are going to begin to be different in the way you serve God in many ways. But you're going to realize the way you pray and the way God answers your prayers is going to change. The way you talk to your friends and the way your friends relate to you is going to begin to change it on a spiritual level. The people that you're discipling is not going to be this big animosity, but there's going to be an authority that you're going to begin to walk in. Not because you're better or you're greater or whatever, but because we're beginning to understand God's heart to reach this nation. But it's so important that we understand God isn't calling us to reach Pretoria because He wants us to have a whatever church in Pretoria. He's calling us to reach Pretoria because we've got a heart for the nations. This is just a means to the end. It's not the end in itself. And I want us just, some of us, we need to make that mind shift a little bit. We need to trust God to help us make that shift. And then I want to invite you and really encourage you, stand with us as we're going to begin to pray in these next couple of weeks. And then the 6 weeks, as I said, we fast Tuesday, Wednesday, pray Thursday morning, and then the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're on the camp together. We're just going to share some stuff. Just really start the second thing. Just, I love the way God works these things out. I didn't plan it, and then I went and looked on the calendar, and it just all worked perfectly. God, you're in control, which is pretty cool to know. So I'm going to ask you to stand and the band to come up. We're going to sing a song which many of you know, many of you have heard and sung before. And normally we sing it saying, God, yes, God, I will go. Tonight as we sing it, I want us to sing it just a little bit different to the way we normally sing it. I want you to sing it and in your heart to say, God, speak to me about how you see the nations. Some of you, God's been challenging you just about enlarging just your mindset, you thinking your community, and for you that's what it's all about, and God just shaking that boat a little bit. You talk to God about that. You allow Him just to stretch your view, just to think differently. And you even bring it before God and say, God, I was wrong, and I don't know how to change this, but God, come and just help me see it the way you see it. Some of you hear God spoken to you about the nations in the past. You felt so intimidated, you just ignored God. Because you said, God, how can I? And you can't. But the Holy Spirit in you can and wants to. But you need to first get on the page that God has a passion for His glory and salvation to come to the nations. It might be the nation across the road. It might be the nation on the other side of the earth. That's between you and God this morning. But let's just at least say, God, give me the heart you have for nations. Whether it be the nations that I don't even know about yet, didn't even know there's a country called Liechtenstein or Luxembourg. Didn't even know that a couple of months ago there was a new country formed, South Sudan, split away from Sudan. Ethiopia and Eritrea. God, some of those island nations in the Southeast Pacific, God, I don't even know their names. Some of you need to get a map and a globe, put it on your desk. Something God spoke to me ages about it. I've got had a big map behind my desk before I was forced to move offices to the fridge. And got a globe on my desk just to remind me what we're doing here. Pretoria is one teeny weeny little dot on it. God's committed to the whole big process, which means He's committed to the small one. But it's not the small thing, it's about the big thing. And we just need to get on that page with Him. So Father, we want to thank You this evening for time spent in Your presence, the way You're shaping and moving our hearts. Lord, for everyone You're talking to, God, I pray that in this next song, they will do business with You. They will talk to You, God. They will obey what You're stirring in their hearts, Lord, that You would stir in every one of our hearts Your passion, Your desire for nations, Lord. Nations and people group we don't even know exist yet, Lord. God, that we would be praying for them and passionate to see them saved. And that passion would find an outflow in the people that we're ministering to. Our communities, our families, our friends, Lord. But we would be so excited, God, every time we get to partner with Craig and his team going to Vinta. Bob and his small group in Rwanda. Many other churches that we get to just support and pray in faith and financially, God. all across the globe, people committed to reaching nations. As I prayed, now I want to encourage you just to talk to God through the song. You do business in the way God would do business with you. Then if you need prayer, perhaps you here, and you say, Philip, it's great, but I'm honest, I don't even know Jesus. I've heard of Him, but I don't have a relationship with Him. I must meet Him. I must get saved. You're talking about salvation among the nations. Well, let's start with salvation with me. If that's you, as we sing this song, just step forward. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you just feel an urge just to respond to what God's doing. You want someone to pray and agree with you. Just step forward as we sing the song. Maybe you're here and you've got a completely different prayer request, got nothing to do with anything I said. You just need someone to pray with you about something that's happening in your life. We're going to pray with you. And once the band's finished ministering, they're going to do a bunch of songs. But when you're done doing business with God, you're free to go. There's coffee and tea outside. Please do join us. We'd love to get to know you better. Have an amazing week. Prayer for you in this week is that God would just give you a glimpse of how He sees and how He feels about the nations. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.